Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
Independence.
My name is Mark, and I teach economics. In this video, I want to talk about, does religion affect economic growth? There's a lot of videos and discussion on the blogosphere, on the internet, that religion negatively impacts economic growth. And I just want to clarify a few things, because I think it's important. A lot of these are produced by professional companies that have cartoon-like representations. Sometimes there are good voiceovers with somebody in an authoritative British accent. But this doesn't answer the question. Whenever you pose the question or hear people make a bold statement like religion negatively impacts economic growth and that's the reason we have so many poor, look, there's so many poor people that are religious, take a step back and ask yourself, is that an objective statement? Is it backed by research? Is it backed by studies? Remember, objectivity is the essence of intelligence. What can we say about that? My first reaction whenever I hear a statement about economics is, that may or may not be true. And then I go in a very cool, collective manner and say, well, let's look at the evidence. I'm a monetary economist, primarily. I'm doing my thesis on monetary economics, Knuth, Excel, Woodford, and fascinating things like that. But economic growth and development, I've always had as a somewhat of a side interest. And so when somebody makes a statement and tries to put a causal relationship into economic growth and religion, I tend to put the red flags out that something's wrong here. Maybe this is part of their own agenda. Maybe they want to feel good about themselves by expressing an opinion. But let's take a look at, I'm not going to present studies, but let's take a look at evidence. First, to do a study that would be worldwide would be very difficult, and there'd have to be hundreds of studies because economics is so complex, especially economic growth and development. There's a lot of variables. There's exogenous variables, endogenous variables, multicollinearity. You have to factor out in any kind of regression a lot of different things and really no mathematics and statistics to be able to determine. And are we looking at it at an exact point in time, or are we looking at it over what time period, all of human history? And again, that's academically reckless for people to make bold, opinionated statements that try to cause a relationship. If anything, I would say that there's a positive relationship between faith and economic growth. And again, this is not an economic study, but if you just take a look at it in a general sense, some of the things that have happened throughout history. First, we have the rise of Western civilization. How can you ignore this? Before, it was like pretty much barbarianism in Europe. And I know there's this big ho-yo, hoo-la-la, that paganism, we're all one. And it is true, but Western civilization brought, and coupled with Christianity, brought us to just such a high level of art. Think of the Italian Renaissance and Da Vinci. And think about this huge cathedrals and how it laid the framework for justice and the idea of justice. Thomas Aquinas, he's an economic thinker, believe it or not, also a scholar of the church, has laid the foundation for eventually this idea that we are going to create a juster, better society. And Western civilization and the countries associated with that became immensely wealthy when they were religious. And that includes the United States of America. I mean, the Puritans came here to set up, a New Jerusalem, something greater and better. And we are an unusual economic experiment, this America. So another thing is people say, well, religious countries tend to be poor, non-religious countries tend to be rich. Again, what a crazy statement, because it's not just crazy. It has a lot of reckless academic non-objective features into that. What about the United States? I think we're pretty rich. We're pretty religious. One of the most religious countries on earth. What about Saudi Arabia on the other side? I think Kuwait, they're pretty religious. They're pretty wealthy. And there are examples of non-religious countries, North Korea, that are pretty poor. So how can you make a statement like that in good conscience? What about subcultures? The most successful community in America, economically, if you consider that, is the Amish, where 90% of their businesses succeed. And I think it's the converse in secular society, 90% fail. What about Hasidic Jews? I think they're pretty wealthy in the United States and around the world. I think there's a correlation. So, again, to make these bold statements is pretty reckless. Further, remember that these countries that are wealthy now, even if they've fallen from religiosity, they accumulated their wealth when they were religious. What is the effect of religion? You know, you have academics like Max Weber writing. Perhaps it lets us consume less now and save and invest, build for the future. So that's a positive thing. People say, well, religious people, like often in little childlike cartoons, they'll portray religious people as simple-minded. And if you have faith, you know that's not true. That's the opposite. And they'll say, well, we don't care about the here and now. Well, I would beg to differ. What about all the people, even a lot of my students go on works to Haiti and build houses, and, you know, we want to change the world. It's because we have faith, we want to make an impact on the world in a positive way. Then you can say, you know, what about the fact that it's not about that? It's not about who has all the shiny tools and the best cell phones and cars, you know, who's living with the Kardashians. If you want to be like that, and that's your life, and that's the meaning of your life, that's fine. But life is an art and not a science. And Hegel told us it's a complex stratification of reality. There's not everything that's just here and now and what you see. And Shakespeare obviously has a quote about there's more in your philosophy than you could have dreamed, to paraphrase it. So it isn't just a yardstick, you know, measure it at a snapshot in time. You have to look at the trend, what's happening, what are these other factors. What about single mothers? You know, single mothers, extremely hard to, you know, I don't know how they can do it, single mothers, single parents. But there is a statistic in the United States. You can look at BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics. The single mothers, it's one of the leading causes, or we won't say causes, but observational data points of poverty. You know, because it often takes, you know, a husband and a wife to raise a family. May not be politically correct, but this is true. And we do know, people say, well, you know, people who have faith break up. But we know there's a correlation of people of church attendance and how much they stick together. And that is true. You can look at Pew Research, et cetera. It's just not somebody who's a nominal Easter and, you know, Christmas, okay, I got to go, get the green check mark for their singing. It's people, you have to look beyond the statistic. And that's being honest intellectually. And if somebody were to prove with 100 studies and looking at all these variables and run regression and say, okay, there is a negative correlation, I don't think so. I think there's a positive correlation. But if somebody were to refute me, I'd say, okay, that's the objective truth. And then we can explain why and we can go from there. So when you hear these things, stay objective. You know, be objective about it. I've got a few points listed, but basically it is, I think, one of the best things you can do is have this positive attitude, have this belief that I'm not going to consume everything, cut the last tree down on earth to consume that one last cheeseburger or get that shiny cell phone. I'm going to have a little bit of frugality. I'm going to show some constraint, invest, plan for the future, plan for my children's future. And even if everything is not great in my marriage, mine is, but even if it isn't, I'm going to stay together because of the kids, because I want to create a better future, and I believe that this is a better world that we're going to create out there. So, again, is economic growth correlated in a negative way to religion? I would say the opposite. I don't have the studies. And if you hear somebody try to correlate this, you know, call them out. They're academically reckless. Even if they have some cause or a little bit of a study, don't believe it. I'm from Missouri. Don't believe it. I'm not really from Missouri. It's an expression. So there we go. I think it's positively correlated. And look as America as a shining example. Thank you very much. I see my possibility.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now so much more than I can see. There's so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun. I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the yellow track. Get ahead, I won't go back.
I see my possibility.
I see them. Nothing, nothing but green lights.
I
said I'm looking for the yellow track.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I got to pop you open. My bad. Thought I had them all clipped. What you smiling about? What's with you? Like the cat that ate the canary. What's going on with you? I got double talk. Your speaker on?
Overwhelming day of
I got double talk. Your speaker on?
No,
is that me?
Mine is off. The echo is coming from your side. Is that me?
Okay. So I know you can hear me on Blog Talk.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's just roll with it. It is what it is. So no echo. Any more echo? No echo.
All right. Well, let's just roll with it. It is what it is. No echo?
There's a delay, There's a delay. Let me reload this page. Hold on. Let me just reload the page. Because none of my speakers are on. So I hope they don't decide to just mess with it today. Okay, my mic is on. Phone is on. Seriously delayed. No, it doesn't feel like it.
Seriously.
Talk to me.
No, it doesn't feel like it. Talk to me.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wow, this is
It's like a whole 30-second delay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, okay. Well, I don't know how to fix that. Once you hang up, hang up on Blog Talk and call back. Hang up on Blog Talk and come back.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for your patience. We're going to get it worked out. Inshallah, with Allah's help, it is possible.
Inshallah, with Allah's help, it is possible.
Let me. Oh, wait a minute. I got.
I got my WMW folks mic open. That's probably the problem on me. So I had a mic open. So okay, so let's see.
How are we now?
Feels perfect. So it, my bad.
Yeah, nothing happened. We're good. I didn't hear echo.
Yeah, because I had someone's mic open and they didn't ask for it, so it's on me. I know you hear me, and you know I love you. See, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to shout you out, but I think I already did. Somebody who understands the symbolism of the communication. But since we're here together now, like James Brown say, now we together. Let's go. That's that famous
now we together.
Famous Live at the Apollo album. That's serious stuff. Now, as I was saying, what you smiling about? That's what I was.
You know, today has been an abundance of gratitude, like nonstop, overwhelming pouring of remembrance. And when I have moments like that, I literally have to sit in it, write it down, because I want to duplicate it as much as possible. And so I know that for me, you know, putting into practice, there are little keys that we always get in the Quran about those who are grateful, you know, this will happen, right? Those who are charitable.
Right.
This is, so it's like, okay, let me see if that do what it say it do, right? So you create these rituals of those moments, and it's like anything else, you stack it up, and then it becomes this overflow, right? So it's like it's happening in real time. So I think today was one of those overflow days. And
alhamdulillah.
I'll talk about it. I was kind of saving the conversation for when I'm up to bat, because ties in, no surprise, to the recording that you shared today too. So it's beautiful. Yeah,
alhamdulillah. All right. Alhamdulillah. So along with your presentation, don't conclude without just doing a little blurb on women of worship. Yeah, so hit that a little bit before you conclude your portion, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. It's all yours. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners on Blog Talk, as well as those who are with us live via Facebook and Facebook and YouTube. Today is a day of gratitude, and I wanted to share this this moment because it is something that when we talk about wealth creation, the conversations that we have been having within the community and even here, expanding our idea of wealth, being wealthy. One of my coaches called wealth WELLTH, like being well in all areas of our lives, and that is the wealth. And so I had a beautifully unique experience today. My morning started off right on the mark. My mother is a part of my classes. And I was like, Mom, you don't have to. You know, you got access to me. But she was seeking a formal experience, right? Because she gets my emails, and she is the pinnacle of the best cheerleader you will ever have on your team, right? My dad can attest to that. And so she was like, no, I am coming in here as Yolanda, be a part of the experience, right? And there were parts of me that was a little nervous, right? Because it's a very intimate exchange as far as the things that we talk about within the group and being clear about the goals that we're seeking to make happen. So I recognized, I then took that back to myself just as a parent. And so today was just this idea of family as this abundance of wealth, right? The gardening. And I always say that, like, even connected with that, I always say that I am a student of my child. Like, I'm, though I'm a parent, like, I learn from my son every day. I'm learning about myself by his existence being my teacher, right? And so to also be in that position along with my mom, it is one of those moments, and we've been having a conversation just about our community, that how do we nurture the next generation of leaders, of creators, of entrepreneurs, of husbands and wives, of, you know, educators, of scholars, just how do we nurture? And there was a journey in the growth process where we're just like, okay, am I gardening right? Am I nurturing this harvest right? And then you get an opportunity to see, oh, what I have nurtured is now bearing fruit that I can benefit from. So when I say that, I look at, just using it as an example, looking at my son, like, he is a tree that I benefit from intellectually, creatively, you know, observing him as a husband, observing him as an entrepreneur, all of these things, right? That I'm learning in that moment. But I know that I planted this to be a contribution to the world, right? And so now not only does the world get to benefit from his existence, but I also get to benefit from this existence, his existence. So I had that experience today with my mom. And I always say, I always tell people that I've known my mother all my life, but I met Yolanda when I turned 40. And so it's like these are, the title of a mother is a very different experience than me meeting Yolanda. So same thing with my dad. Like, I've known my dad all my life, but I met Fahim, and I occasionally meet Jeannie every once in a while, but I've met more of Fahim in my 40s, and I get little stories of Jeannie here and there, special family events when we get them to crack open a little bit, open up Pandora's box, right? And it humanizes our parental experience that allows us to recognize that we're a part of the journey of our parents, right? And to recognize how they have invested the best of what they had in us in order to evolve the next part. So, of course, the recording you mentioned, this cathedral, right? They laid the foundation of what it is that they had in the early stages of this, and now from there, our children and their grandchildren will be the evolution of this cathedral mind, this intellect, right? If you haven't tapped into the Juma, please tap into Juma when he explains what the intellect is, right? It's not just, it is, for lack of a better term, for me, there's an expansion of this energetic experience that is the intellect, right? It's not just the way I feel about this or that. It's a system, right? So we're a part of that system and continuing that system with a lot of help. So I want to share the story just to better etch in this ideal of being the teacher. Like, I encourage, you know, if I was to ever do parenting again, which, you know, it's not physically possible, but I have my nieces and nephews, that to really hone in and learn, like, by truly observing. When I sit and observe my niece, who is the youngest, the newest baby, who's like 1 year old, I really observe her. When I'm with a seven-year-old, I really observe them because they are teaching me in that moment, and like, what is it that I need to tap? Because they're closer to the remembering than I am as an adult. Because I get the distractions of the hustle, got to go to work, got to do this, got to do that. They're more connected to their nature that early in the stages than we are as adults. So how do we protect and preserve how close they are to their nature and expand it, right? So here's the story, and I always, like, I hang on. This is, like, the story that I always keep in my back pocket whenever anyone wants to talk to me about my experience of parenting. And I may have shared it here, but it's just my favorite story. Can't help it. It keeps me grounded and remembering. When my son got married, we did his, putting up air quotes, his bachelor party, right? My son is a true introvert, more so than his mom. And my friend was in town, and we were getting ready for his wedding the next day. We was like, okay, we're going to bachelor party it, you know. He just put his mama and his mom best friend. This is what it is. And so we got his clothes and his tuxedo and stuff, and so we was like, let's try this on, because he got his jacket tailored. And there was these little jewels that were in the tuxedo case, in the tuxedo kit that we got. And for the life of us, we did not know what to do with these, right? And so we tried putting them in the buttonholes, we tried to see if it goes with the collar. At no point in time, which is so strange, at no point in time did we go, let's Google, like nothing in our brain said, Google what we're supposed to do with these little knobs that we're looking at. Nothing. We just went to work with trying to figure this thing out, right? And so we finally realized it's the cufflinks. They're cufflinks. And then that was another layer of, okay, well, how do we put it? Kept slipping through the hole, wasn't latching on properly. We just weren't getting it. But we spent about 30 minutes trying to figure this out. Then once we finally got it attached, we both just started crying. Now, my son, no problem with being emoting, right? So we both started crying. And I just cried, and I understood what the lesson was. And I said to him, I said, I know. Because, you know, I raised my son. After I got divorced, he was with me pretty much all the time. And I said, I know you would have wanted, you know, to have your dad present at this moment and at this time. And I know that this is an experience that you would want to share. And I said, but, you know, we did it. We did the best we could with what we had. And here, right? And it reminded me that, you know, even through it all, how Allah is so involved in the journey, and the journey has to happen a particular way in order for us to understand what we're doing, right? And it is one of those, it was a very much so, like, I live by, and I unfold different new pieces of the story of Hagar as a result of my life. It's just something that, you know, a lot always brings back to my attention, that I consistently study this idea. And the idea is we pray and we strive and we do what we can to establish community, right? Because that experience, the physical, when I call it the physical experience of Hagar is one thing, right? But we're talking, we have been having conversations about going beyond what the physical body, the literal concrete experience is. What is the abstract meaning and experience that is happening here? And in this abstract experience, there is a patient's perseverance and prayer, right, that is happening in order to establish a life of worship. Establish an environment that gives all praise and glory to Allah in all things that we do, right? That are preserving of creation and the nurturing and the loving of creation is a very important role in ensuring the preservation of community, the expansion of community life, right? And so when we think about what we have to offer and how we learn from the experience, we have to go back to the origins of what is it that we are created to give and what have we created to give to the world that reminds to give honor and praise and gratitude and worship to Allah in the things that we do. So the business, the education, the good word, picking up the litter, you are showing up in gratitude for the things, right? Your life. So I remember just in this journey of understanding gratitude, I feel obligated, and I want to offer this as a suggestion. You can do what you want to, but I'm saying just try this as a suggestion. They have this term right now in the cultural sense. They say, you know, give them their flowers now, right? Give them their flowers now. I, myself, and my other sister, her name is Fahima, we always say, wash their bodies now. Let's not wait until after we wash them. And we wash them with the good words and the gratitude, right? I am showering you with the emotional and the present gratitude of saying, you know, you did the best you could with what you had, and what you gave me was enough because Allah said that was enough. And as a result of that, you have nurtured me enough so that I can now establish myself in this earth and carry on and give life to new food that will nurture an entire, and nurture the humanity, right? So when I say that, it's like there is someone or an experience, doesn't have to be this ongoing thing, right? But that moment to be present in the moment that Allah utilizes a vessel to bring you a message that is clear to you to say, continue on, my servant, right? That we show a level of gratitude for that. Because to ignore the messenger, the person who is bringing you the message that will enhance your life, make your life better, stronger. And I'm saying the ones that are directly in front of you, meaning your parents, your family members, your siblings, or whomever, and the community that is a resource to you. The sooner you do that, the sooner you can reap the benefits of the garden that you are seeking to build, right? The garden itself and the garden that's within the garden of the community. I know that when I bring information about anything that I'm doing, I have a community that's like, okay, Camila, how can we support this? You know, what do you need from us? How can we get the word out? Because it's a community that nurtures the garden inside of the garden. But if I'm not nurturing a garden that's producing fruit to be of service to humanity, I'm not showing up in the fullness and the beauty and the magnificence of what it is that Allah has given me as a possibility to be of service. When I don't show up as Khalifa, as an authority for what it is that Allah said is for me, I am doing a disservice to myself as well as the outer community. And I'm also doing a disservice by not nurturing the other gardens that are surrounding me. But I cannot do that if I am not first establishing my garden enough to create the harvest. What is that folk tale? What is that story? The stone soup of it all, right? That everyone has something to contribute and it creates a feast, right? But if I'm just there and at no point in time have I identified, am I the potatoes? Am I the carrot? Are they the celery? This person has the egg. Like, if no one is showing up with nothing, you're just kind of waiting there to just be, to eat off of someone else without being grateful for, wow, we also have someone that has potatoes? This is our, wait, sister so-and-so has carrots? Amazing. Wait, this brother is an iron worker and can make a pot. Like, you know, there's, if we're not showing up in the fullness of what Allah has given us to bring to this earth, but we're trying to fit into the, you know, fit into the machine of this society. I don't even want to call it the world, because everything in the world has a role. The bee has a role. The ant has a role. The plants have a role. The ocean, the river, everyone has a role. This society takes the nature away from us. And as a result of the society stealing our nature, they create artificial intelligence, right? Something that is not human. It does not have a soul. It does not have a spirit, right? It is literally made up to serve their machine, right? So the closer that we get to our nature, when I recognize, it's like, you know, I can't make a meal with just my potatoes. I want to make a meal with everyone, you know? We see the reality of that during Ramadan, when everyone brings a dish. Everyone doesn't bring one type of food, right? Someone will bring the rice. Someone will bring the vegetables. Someone will bring the protein. Someone will bring the beverages. Someone will bring the desserts. Like, and that's what makes it a complete meal. The rice by itself is not a complete meal, but I depend on what everyone else is bringing, the best of what they have access to. And as a result, an entire community is fed. This one bowl of rice stretches because now it is a part of an entire spread, feeds an entire community. So now let's take that to a more abstract part of it, right? What are you bringing to the world that everyone can benefit from in order to establish a life, a community that goes beyond this existence? What is that thing? Are you an artist? Are you a writer? Are you an architect? You know, are you an excellent educator? You know, and you spend time mastering that gift. You master it. You spend time sharpening that craft, figuring out the tools of how do I make this easily accessible to the community. Because when I do that, whatever they're learning from me, maybe now this information will help them to publish the book, or maybe this information will inspire a song or a poem. Maybe this inspiration will get them to create a piece of art that moves the people. Maybe this inspiration will get a sister to create a fashion line of clothing that's inspired by me bringing the fullness of who I am. So let's spend the time to do that. Let's not be a little piece in the machine that does not serve the highest parts of ourselves, that does not serve our nature, our human nature. Let us not choose to live a life of artificial intelligence, but to tap into the beautiful and expansive intelligence that Allah has blessed us with, because that is what will carry on beyond this physical body that is existing here and now in this life. So I'm going to close it with that, and you know, what the man had mentioned before, what I'll do is I will put the link in here. I do every second Sunday in the evening, I gather with the Bilalian Muslim women, and we have a conversation about the Quran. We create practical ways of applying the Quran in order to build a relationship and conversation that allows us to function at our fullest potential and to not be intimidated by this beautiful scripture, but to embrace it as a tool for our highest good, for us to do the best and live the best life, for us to recognize that this journey is not about a life that hurts us, but for it to be a life that urges and grows us, right? That this is a space that in many times we are not allowed a space to fully expand and speak of our experience as Bengali and Muslim women. We usually have to shrink ourselves in other environments because culturally we have been erased from the narrative of Islamic history. And we are now in a season and a time where Muslim, you know, Bengali Muslim women are like, hold on, you are here only because of how we step to the plate to say we will create our own looks, we will create our own educational systems, you know, we will be the women who will stand on the front lines and do the work, you know, and so as a result, we have to reclaim our place in Islamic history in America and understand that the Quran is speaks very directly and personally to us individually, and how do we create a like-mind community to have those conversations. So that's Women of Worship. We do every second Sunday. I will drop the link so that the imam can share it and can join our mailing list, and we do this every second Sunday. So our first one happened in January. We'll be doing it again in February, and I'm contemplating doing it once a week. I'll know once I see what the capacity of my time looks like. But, yeah, so once again, thank you guys for this time and space, and I'll call you in back in.
And we're back.
And we're back.
All right, good, good. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. No, you know, I hadn't heard the cufflink story. So that was news.
Oh,
I mean,
you
it's like,
it.
You know,
oh, yeah,
yeah, there's a little tear floating around in the dump.
Yeah,
about to pop out. Yeah, I get it, man. I get it, right?
Yeah,
so, Alhamdulillah, that father thing is a serious thing, right? So Alhamdulillah,
yeah,
father,
yeah,
and mother and son too as well. And, of course, you know,
yeah,
we could go on and on and on and on, but we're not going to do that. So, Alhamdulillah.
It's a breaking down.
It's good, yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll have our private conversation after. Thank
okay.
you so very
no
much. All right, let's go. What we're going to do is we're going to move on. Let me go ahead and share right off the bat so we can maximize our time utilization. And close this off. See, every time I don't pay attention and I start messing up. Let's see. I am in channels council. Okay, share screen. Okay, they put a new look on me, so I thought I missed the boat. And now I got it. All right, let's go. So, Alhamdulillah, the subject matter is reconciling the abstract and the concrete for wealth creation. But let's just understand this. When I come to this, especially this broadcast, this platform, I am literally talking about wealth creation. Right? I'm literally talking about wealth creation. When I say that, I mean, how do you create wealth? And wealth, again, wealth is a multiplicity of things. Wealth is not just currency or precious metals or crypto. Wealth is something new and valuable, and it can be old and valuable, but particularly something that is coming out of your innate potential, because this has been my drive from before Nation of Islam. My drive has been that, look, I know we all have a potential. I know we all have an excellence. This, mashallah, this is no boast, but this was before. It was only when I found the Nation of Islam and what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, by the grace of Allah, that I was able to put some flesh on those bones and give some body for that spirit. And then, of course, it was amplified with Imam Muhammad. And even, mashallah, after Imam Muhammad, as Camila was saying, you know, I'm a quote unquote, I'm a child of Imam. I don't go all the way over. He said I'm like a son to him. He said it to a lot of people. Said, okay, good. So I'm taking mine this way. And so the fruit that we are bearing, if it's of any value and any nourishment to you in the way that we can, and it does nourish you, it's because of fruit that's being born from seeds planted by Imam Wahdati Muhammad. So what I'm saying is that the movement of that potential in me for stimulation of the potential of others, which is what Hajar was talking about, then I'm in heaven, quote unquote. I'm in heaven. I am doing what I believe that I was created for. So the only struggle that I have off time is okay, is this too much too fast? Is this too much? Do you have the fundamental background or don't you have fundamental? Are they getting it? Are they not getting it? Is it going over too many people's heads? So I'm always asking myself that question out of respect for what I'm trying to do and out of respect for you, because if you don't get anything out of what I'm saying, then it therefore is a waste of time. Yeah, and we don't want to do that. Now, this is one of the prime plates that we did last week. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. There's places that I want to go, but I need to always reconnect with what came before last week in our presentation so that those of you who are really riding with us, you can get connected and say, okay, yeah, we talked about that last week. And especially if you take notes, you say, okay, then you can reinforce some of your notes, and then we can go to the next page, literally. But we're just going to cover this right. This is an ontology. Look it up. This is an ontology, an Islamic ontology. It is saying this is an abstraction of what the world of the reality that we live in, the present reality, not just the world, the present reality that we exist in. This is a model of that. And it also, with us as Khalifa, the original human soul, and as an origin and as a destiny, both of those things, the original human soul is origin, and the original human soul is also destiny. At the destiny, it's identified as Khalifa. At the origin, it's identified as Nafsun Wahida. But it's the evolution, just like Abraham is the full evolution and expression of Adam. Likewise, Khalifa is the full evolution and expression of Nafsun Wahida. So the point here is to know what reality is. Don't just take that word as just, oh, yeah, man, you know, reality. The reality of it is this. And reality, when we say reality in this platform on this subject, we mean haqq. We mean haqq. We mean the reality as Allah created it, the reality that transcends what you physically sense, what is palpable, what is sensible to you, meaning that you can get it, you can feel it. That we're talking about beyond that. We're talking about that place that Abraham went after he transcended star, moon, sun, and the what's behind it all, which is the foundation for it all. That's what we're talking about. And ever so quickly, look at these numbers. Number one, there's Allah. Number two, there's Allah's will. Number three, there's everything that by Allah's will he has created, right? Number four, there's the laws that govern everything that Allah has created. And everything that you see in creation is an active manifestation of the will of Allah for creation. The bee is doing what the bee is doing because that's what Allah by his will intended for it. The wind is doing, the clouds are doing, the sun is doing, the moon is doing, the stars are doing, the seasons are doing, etc. Everything is doing according to Allah's will. Everything you see in creation is, I'm talking about the natural creation, is the will of Allah. And there was a sideline conversation there for other things that would naturally come to mind, but I don't want to get sidetracked. and then number four, there's the law for all creation that I just spoke of. And then out of that and above that and upon all of that is Khalifa, the original human soul, that everything that I've talked about, everything that came before, when Allah has prescribed the matter, when Allah has decreed a matter, qada. When Allah has decreed a matter, he simply says to it, be, and it is. Kun fayakun. And so everything that Allah intended to come into existence, there's only one word, and everything starts rolling out the way that he intended. Kun, and that's it. So what we're looking at here is, okay, what's the layout? What's the unfolding? And what's the relationship between all of these elements in the existence that we are in right now? And I'm saying that's what the ontology is, and that's what that map is. And obviously there's details for all of it, but that's why it's called an abstract. You've heard it defined abstract as truth without details. Everything you're looking at on Allahu A'lam, everything you're looking at, that's the truth. That's the truth. That paragraph, that it's an abstraction of it. Now, when it comes to the human being, so now we're here. We are the original soul in process of reaching Khalifa. So we're somewhere in between. You and I, we're somewhere between Nafsun Wahida and Khalifa. That's where we are. And all of our journey, and please know this, brother and sister, the favor that God has done to us and done for us is that if you are living in space and time right now, and you have said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, you have been favored. In kuntum sadiqeen. If you are true and sincere to that, you have a universe of favor. I'm saying, you have, that's the only way to say it. There may be some greater poetic words for that, but the point is that you are blessed. You are universally blessed. Maybe that's the way of saying it. Yeah, really, because when Allah says, وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, most of them don't understand. But if you understand that, you are among the few in the total existence of humanity throughout the channel and time of history. If you understand it, you are among the few that have ever existed. Because most people don't understand it. And that's always true from the time Allah revealed it and from the time before it was revealed. Because many go about in the world unmindful. Okay, so much for that. So here we are. Just start from the position of I'm standing on the earth. I have a brain. I have a mind. I have this consciousness. I have this free will. And I recognize that there is a Lord, cherisher, and sustainer of the world. I'm here. Okay, now, what's my next task? What's my next task? All right? In this journey called life, in that particular representation of it, the task is to gain more knowledge of the laws and the patterns and the regularities in nature. Mm-hmm. Learn that. That's Abraham. That's the picture that God gave us of Abraham, right? The star, the moon, the sun, etc. That, yes, is his move towards Tawheed. It's his move towards the acknowledgement of the oneness of God, transcendent of all material, no idols or any. That he represents that primordial sacred journey fulfilled. Abraham, as Quran said, and he fulfilled all of his obligations. What that means, as well as other things, is that you and I, what is our way of life called? Deen, right? It's called deen. What is it rooted in? Obligation, debt. You have a debt. So we're born with a debt to Allah because we are nothing without Allah. If he brought us into existence, we owe him, period, right? We owe him. And so Abraham fulfilled all his obligations, all right? Fulfilling all of his obligations means he realized what Allah had created him in and for, all right? And so therefore, and God says, he's your model, he's your example, and whoever attains the station of Abraham has indeed attained security. So he's the goal. He's the objective. He's the model in that totality. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just in case someone's thinking, well, what about the Prophet? MashaAllah, I understand what the Prophet said. In his Isra wa Mi'raj, he saw Abraham, and he told the companions of the people gathered for his words, he said, anybody who wants to see Abraham, look at your brother. Anybody want to say, you want to know what Abraham looked like? Well, look at me. Look at me, you seeing Abraham. That's the prophet, right? So when we say, excuse me, when we say that Abraham is that objective, you know, it's not, see, if you don't think about them in a material perspective, then it's easy. You know, it can be, by the grace of Allah, it's easy. Because Abraham is a type. Abraham is an abstraction. All of these personalities are qualities, attributes, capabilities, layers of potential that we traverse in our growth and evolution. And Abraham fulfilled all his obligations. Abraham fulfilled level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and he's the 7th. And yes, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's 8. How it is to be applied in the world. Okay, I'm sorry, mashallah. I have to take into consideration, because you leave out one thing with some of us that, yeah, but the maps, this and that. I get it. So that's the only reason I kind of take that time, because some people, you know, they hit you like, yeah, but you don't know this part. Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I just got to I gotta bring that up, because that's who we are, and I don't want you to miss it. Let me go and say this. Understand about epistemology is another word that you have to own this word, because you're using it in the way that you think and act, even though you don't know it, even if you don't know it, right? But I want you to know it. Epistemology means what constitutes knowledge. Working definition, what constitutes knowledge? And particularly, what constitutes knowledge for the individual knower, K-N-O-W-E-R, right? So there are people who say, I don't listen to W.D. Muhammad. You know, I don't listen to W.D. Muhammad. Why? Because their epistemology says that's not knowledge. So therefore, epistemologically speaking, they reject Imam Muhammad's interpretations, expressions, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because they have an epistemology that doesn't include what Imam Muhammad shares as knowledge, and that's not knowledge in their epistemology. Okay, the point is, what you get and what you gain as knowledge has everything to do with your epistemology, right? So if your epistemology includes Imam Wazidi Muhammad, mashallah, then you take what he says as knowledge, right? Functionally speaking, and from a utility, I don't mean it's philosophically, but from a utilitarian perspective, from the perspective of useful knowledge, you take from what Imam Muhammad has given, and then you apply it as given, and then when you see the results from what he is, you say, yeah, that is knowledge. Because I took this that he said, and I applied to this as he said it, and this came as a product of that. So what he's given is knowledge, right? So sometimes I speak and take time like this because I don't even want people, I especially don't want people. You've been blessed to come into the womb of the language and knowledge and insights of Imam Wazidi Muhammad, but you can get stuck. Meaning, you've grown, but there's further to go. There's further to go. And if you don't know how to trust, and if you don't know how to find support, if you don't have the support for a student of his that brings you knowledge that is an elaboration, an application of the logic that he's given, then you're going to miss some knowledge because, man, I never heard Imam say that. Yeah, well, maybe I'm saying something that the Imam didn't say explicitly, but I'm saying something that you follow the logic and the practice that he gave you to follow. You're supposed to be walking. You're supposed to keep moving. Did you stop moving in 2008? Did you stop moving or did you keep stepping? You're supposed to keep stepping. And if you keep stepping, as he taught us, right, he said, you look at the Egyptian hieroglyphs, you see these figures, these special figures. He said, you see one with one leg down and one leg up. You see these characters, these major characters. One leg down, one leg up. The Imam said, "That what does that represent? That's progress and movement made through insight, one foot, application, the next foot. So you can get the insight, but if you don't know how to apply it, you're not going to make any progress. I think I've said enough for as far as that's concerned. So the point is, this is how we are to use that. This is our place in the, we are, you're alive, you're standing up, you got a brain, you're thinking, you're serving God, you're trying to make progress, you're active in the world, et cetera. Okay, well, you're at the point where the highest of things that you can do is to acquire the knowledge of the laws, of the patterns, of the regularities in nature, and that will give you the science to put you in a position to make predictions about what is possible, to make, to envision what's possible, and then abstract and utilize the means whereby you can reach that possibility, okay? Once you have the knowledge, you can't do it in the best way without, quote-unquote, science. And that's what God gave Abraham, and that's the most powerful, wealthiest people in the world right now are people who have this knowledge. Just all you got to do is look, okay, wealthiest people in the world, and go somewhere with a conversation where they're having a conversation, and even more specifically, go to a place where they're having a conversation where you just a fly on the wall at the place where they're doing the production. And if you can hang with the conversation that they're having, then you know that language. But most times, what I'm pointing to is like, it would be like they're speaking a foreign language, period, right? I'm not even going to give any examples, but just go look at it. Maybe I can give a short one. For example, go look, just look up, say, how are the Avatar characters, I'm talking about the movie, how are the Avatar characters rendered? I'm talking about that movie. How are those, just look up that, how are they rendered, right? And then when you get and understand, mashallah, it probably takes a very long time to understand it, but it's enough for you to see. It takes all that just for that little bit of, not talking about 3 hours, you're just talking about that one action of this character requires this much computer code, right? And that's intelligence, right? I mean, should we just, one more thing perhaps, you know, OpenAI, ChatGPT, all these words, right? The other thing is, I'm saying this, you've heard the language technology gap. Technology gap. What is the technology gap? The technology gap, don't go over and thinking about third world people who just can't get clean water and all, yeah, they're in the technology gap. No, you and I are in the or a technology gap. What is the technology gap? It is the distance between the technology in use and the technology available. The technology in use, meaning that the technology that you're using, okay, you're using a computer, you're using the iPhone, you know, of course you got to ask, you know, how much of it are you really using, right? But nevertheless, so you have that technology of that's in use. Okay, but now what's the technology that's out there? What is the technology? I mean, what is the technology that's out there? And what's the distance between what you know and are utilizing of technology and the level of technology that's out there? That's the gap. That's the technology gap. So the idea is the wealth that's being created are the people who have narrowed the technology gap more so than others. And so when this fundamental thing that I'm speaking of, that is how we make progress, you have to get more knowledge of the laws and the patterns and the regularities in nature. And that is the science that makes prediction possible and enables man to serve Allah and humanity better. Intellect, intelligence, science, in service to Allah's will. That is the way to wealth. Knowledge flows from those who don't know to those who do know. Money, I should say also, and that's what I really meant. Money flows from those who don't know to those who do know. Because whatever you don't know, how to do for yourself, somebody else will do it for you, but they'll charge you. And so you're paying for what you don't know. But the more you know, then the more you become useful to people through what you know. And this is a part of what the prophet's saying, that surely the best among you is the one who is most useful to humanity, right? So you have to, as Hadja was talking about, you know, what use are you? What are you good at and what are you good for? Work with that. Work with that. To find your potential gift to serve humanity and that Allah has given you as a vehicle for your own sustenance, ask and answer the question, what are you good at and what are you good for? Answer that question and then get the science of that and you're on your way to wealth creation personally, okay? So many beautiful stories. One day, mashallah, inshallah, we have a chance to elaborate on that much. I think that day is actually coming up. Let me say this to you also. Talking about, I made a rhetorical statement and asked a rhetorical question. I said, well, did you stop walking in 2008? And most of you know that I'm referring to the year that Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, passed away, right? He passed away in 2008. Did you stop? Did you stop? You know, he was telling us in years before that, we cannot stop now. And when he passed away, it's still true, even more so. We cannot stop now, right? So that means that when he said, and Imam talked about, you know, there's a very fond phrase that many Muslims use, but we have to not let it be a cliche. You have to let it have substance by understanding and application. And that is when the Imam said, you have to have the courage to follow the logic to its conclusion. You have to have the courage to follow. Why does it take courage to follow the logic to its conclusion? Because you have to believe in the logic, knowing that you don't have the result and you have no promise that it's actually going to turn out the way that you are, quote-unquote, hoping, but you can't stop because you're not sure. This is the meaning of yu'minuna bil-ghayb. The Muslims believe in the unseen. Abraham, again, he's such a model for this. It's like, okay, star, that's God. No. Moon, oh, that's God. Sun, that's the biggest one. That's God. No. He had to go past all those forms of light to go to what was dark to him in the context of, I don't know, but now I have faith, which is also one of the meanings of this blackness and this darkness. Not only does it represent ignorance and the unknown, but it also represents faith. In faith, you have to be willing to go into the dark. But the light is based on the faith that you have in the source that gave you the information. So you have to trust yourself, trust God, trust your intellect, et cetera. Trust your intentions. Do that. Now, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, here's a statement that he made in Oakland, California. He said, we cannot have all these fine institutions working on building a master race or working on building a master society and leaving the knowledge that Allah intended for all of us in the hands of academia or leaving the knowledge in the hands of a few intellects. So, dear beloved believers, we have to appreciate knowledge, appreciate education, and try our best to translate the complicated ideas and theories. This technology gap has everything to do with complicated ideas and theories that are in vogue and in use and that are part of the marketplace right now. And the less you know about it, the more you're in the technology gap, the less you are capable of generating wealth for yourself in the new system because you don't understand the complicated ideas and theories. The Imam says we have to try our best to translate the complicated ideas and theories into the language of the common person so that they can get the benefit. Is not that what he did for us? Do you understand Imam Muhammad like Prometheus in that myth, right? He brought knowledge down from on high. That's the mythological side of it, but then that's also the reality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Muhammad is not a prophet. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received the light and he came down. And in the biblical Christ, he says that no one is in heaven but who has come down from heaven. And the prophet in his Isra wa Mi'raj, the level 8 imam explains to us, Abraham's on 7, Prophet Muhammad's on 8. 8 was bringing it down and applying it in the world. And that was when the hijrah, or after that time, the hijrah took place and the building of Medina to Munawwara came after that, because he had gotten to the height of it and how it's to be applied. Boom. Well, that's what we have to do. So it has to be brought down. So these complicated ideas and theories that are moving and acting in the world right now, we have to, somebody has to take it upon themselves to take what is complicated but useful and bring it into the language of the common person. Okay, so I'm saying to you, yes, these are the marching orders that I operate from. So sometimes when things seem to get complicated, trust me, I'm doing the best I can by the grace of Allah, with the help of Allah, to uncomplicate it. So, but sometimes the complications of things, it just can't be said in any other way, or at least the teacher, in this case, myself. Well, that's the best I can do. So inshallah, Allah will bless you to get it clear, and I will try to make it uncomplicated. Now, that being said, let me alert you, make you aware, myself and Dr. Abdul Jalil Nuruddin of the great state of North Carolina or South Carolina? I think it's North Carolina. I'm Greensboro. Yeah, y'all know. And so the both of us, we're doing a collaborative holistic health and personal power. So weekend workshop is going to be happening March 18th and 19th. It's going to be an empowerment webinar. And tomorrow we're going to the Eventbrite Evite is going to be going on. But this is just to inform you. Because, like the thing that I'm talking about in the little blurb captions, to give you some idea of what I'm going to be talking about, the Quran and metaphysics, the reality of you, reading signs for natural guidance, and please know this: I'm not coming with. I listen to a lot of YouTube, videos about whatever. I'm not going to say anything because some people think I'm throwing shade. No. But don't think that what I'm bringing is an adaptation from whatever. I don't care, YouTube, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, or anything. No. This is, mashallah, by the grace of Allah, this is no boast. But this is like, what can you call it? It's like a cake made from scratch. Let's put it like that. That's what I can say. It's like, no. This is not AI. This is made from scratch, right? By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have that. And, of course, Dr. Nuruddin, he's deep on the nutritional deficits, the importance of enzymes, treating the gut, and psychosomatic activity. So it's a 1-2 punch kind of scenario. It's like the physical and the metaphysical. So inshallah, hopefully you get there. All right, so let me see. Okay, we got a couple of minutes. Let me cover something real quick. You've seen this image before. Well, maybe if you've been in touch with us on our broadcast. So let me just run very quickly to this, because I want to. Let's see. Okay, since the prime conversation is about the abstract and the concrete for wealth creation. And I have about 10 minutes left, and inshallah, Allah will bless us with another time to be together. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and jump to a conclusion right now. And I'm just going to spend the time with it, 10 minutes or so. And we'll see what we can say. All right. Walk with me. Take this as fresh. Okay, I'm starting all over It's just like you just came online and we just started. And it's this. In reality, when we quote unquote see something as a possibility, it means that we have become conscious of a particular possibility in the quantum vacuum field. Excuse me. That's what's happening when you truly say to yourself, and you, it's a felt reality for you, literally. Just think about anything that you say, oh, I see that. Okay, well, boom. When you make that statement and it's genuine for you, then what it means is that you have, in that moment, become conscious of a particular possibility that's in the quantum vacuum field. I want you, you can say universe, and it's easy. And it's true. You can say universe is easy, it's true. Imam Muhammad, I have many quotes from him, but one of the statements that he said, what is the universe if it's not possibility? Ask and answer that question. What is the universe if it's not possibility? The universe is potential. The universe is possibility. Science has established. See, what happens when you get past the illusion of the limits of material, you know, meaning that when you get to the point where you realize and recognize and acknowledge that the palpable, sensible, physical features of this creation are themselves just like an outer expression of something that's deeper and something that's deeper, right? So the point is that what we experience in the world, in a material perspective, that is not the foundation and fundamental reality of creation. It's an expression of it. Muhammad Iqbal, he says that the laws of nature, the laws of nature are the garments of creation. The laws of nature are the garments of creation. So what you see in the laws of nature, that you see them because they are expressions of something deeper. But let's just move from here. So the point is, when we see it, that is, when we see it as a possibility, what has happened in that moment is that you have conceptualized it. We even use that language. You say something has been conceived. Somebody conceived of this and conceived of that. And we know that when we talk about conception, we're also, there's an analogy for it in pregnancy. There's an analogy for it in pregnancy. But understand, every physical, especially the natural phenomena, particularly, in fact, maybe that's how I should limit it, every natural phenomena, which pregnancy is a phenomena, it's a natural phenomena, right? Every natural phenomena is a sign. Every natural phenomena is a sign. Every natural phenomena is holding meaning and truth that Allah has put in it, because a part of the law of the nature of creation, a part of the kun fayakun, is that Allah has put meaning for the substance of humanity and the sustenance of humanity. He has put it in everything. But just like fruit on a tree, you have to pick the fruit from the tree. You have to peel it or crack it or whatever in order to get the nourishment out of it. So it is with everything in creation. The stars, peel it, crack it, get the nourishment out of it. The moon, peel it, crack it, get the nourishment out of it. The sun, peel it, crack it, get the nourishment out of it. Ayah 6:172 may not be a 172. I'm just trying to make the point. It's like, crack it, peel it, and get the sustenance out of it. Okay? And the value and the potential of all the things that I'm talking about, the universe is just simply filled with possibilities. I mentioned quantum field, so let me go ahead and mention this because it's a part of the reality. It's a part of the technology gap that I'm inviting us to bridge and cross over and trying to help us bridge and cross over. I have to give you this word, superposition. Superposition, look it up. Quantum vacuum field, there's no fantasy about that. It's bona fide, solid, real, actual, period. That's that. Also, superposition, that's also bona fide, true, real, scientific. And superposition is saying that a thing is not anything in particular until a decision is made about it, until it is somehow measured, et cetera. You have the measurement problem, different things like that. And all I'm saying that for is for us to understand that these realities from a scientific perspective, these realities from the laws that we said you have to learn from creation, you have to understand its laws in order to understand the science, in order to make predictions and all those kinds of things. It's like when you understand that about the nature of creation, the Imam has told us, Quran says that there come a time when the universe is going to be like a scroll that's been put out of business, like a scroll that's been put out of business. And he's telling us that there's going to be a time, of course, how long is that going to be? There's a time when the knowledge in the creation will be exhausted. It will be exhausted. And how does it get exhausted? Standing, acquisition, knowledge of it, its meaning unveiled, its meaning unfold. How long is that going to be? Right? The universe that we're in, 14 billion years old, according to measure, it's going to be quite a while. But the point to be made in this is that the reality of this supervision is that everything that comes into creation, everything that comes into physical, palpable production in your hand, it started with conceptualization. And when it was conceived by you and I or anyone standing flat-footed right here on Earth, as soon as it was received in that person's consciousness as a possibility, then it particularizes the possibility in the quantum field. All right? That's where it starts. I got Quran, I have Bible for it, but we're not gonna do that right now. Join us on the 18th, 19th, and mashallah, I'm quite certain you'll get some details there. But let's finish this reading that's been in front of you for a minute. So when you see it as a possibility, that means you have conceptualized it. When you can say to yourself confidently, oh, I see it. I see that's possible. I can see that can be done. You have started the germination of what you hope to hold in your hand or see before you at some time in the future. You've already started it. You got it started by conceiving and believing it. I know you heard that before, but you need to hear it and understand it from a Quranic directions, okay? But it's true, nevertheless. So seeing it as a possibility means that you have conceived it, right? All right? And in so doing, you have brought about the virtual existence in that vacuum field. I say in and out of it. It means like first everything was just like blank, stable in that particular region, whatever it is you're thinking about. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If you have to start, I want to do X, I want to do Y. What you're trying to do is tap into the possibility that exists in this universe, which is nothing but possibility. But it's nothing in particular until somebody decides on something particular. I don't care whether it's a bicycle or a car or whether it's an airplane or whether it's a bird's nest or, you know, a birdhouse or whatever. It's like as far as our creation, they start mental. And so they start mental, but at the same time, because we're connected with, there's no separation, Quran 67, 1 through 4, there's no separation in anything in the nature of creation, and it's particularly true for us as soul beings, as conscious beings. I conceive here, it takes on a particularity in the reality that the scientific label is quantum field. But the point is, in reality as Allah has created it. And that's where it stays until and as you work towards it. You work for it. You act for it. And what happens is there's a reciprocity, and there's hadith for what I'm talking about now, hadith Qudsi, what he's talking about now, and tell you which one it is. The one that tells you, it says, when he comes to me walking, I come to him at speed. See, the point is, don't just see those things in concrete ways. Where is God going to move from? Where he comes to me walking, I come to him at speed. Do you have a God that moves? You have a God that moves? No. So you need to get the logic of that. What does that mean? Right? You see, when you find, by Allah's grace and with Allah's help, when you find what it means, now you're eating the fruit. You get that. So that hadith, that's the fruit off the tree. But now you got to crack it open, pull out the meat, and you have to eat it. Right? You say, oh, I see. I understand. Right? So I leave you with it. Everything we got to do, we got to put a comma on it. Now, this screen has been in front of you for a long time, so you need to go ahead and read it for yourself. Follow it through. If you have some other questions, feel free to ask at another time. But let me hit you with an Arabic word that might help you also appreciate it. Mufid, right? So when someone says something is غير مفيد, it means that it doesn't make sense. Or it has no meaning. غير مفيد. So what is مفيد? مفيد is meaning. It makes sense, right? It has meaning. And so what's in the word? Feed. And actually, move, if you go to Spanish, you know, move, right? Move is much food. And when you get the meaning of things, mashallah. So let's go ahead and end this right now. We're gonna check out, put a comment in it, and we'll talk more about it. We're gonna bring Hadja back, and we're gonna sign off. Let me hit a couple of notions here. Go ahead, Hadja, and then we're going to, let me see where we are. Okay. I'm gonna click through some of these banners that I'm seeing here, acknowledging people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, create the, just create the space to develop your relationship with Quran so that you can get the mm-hmm. message that is specific to you and your life, and think bigger. Like, we have to just stop mm-hmm. limiting ourselves to what's happening here and now in this life, but to really visualize and think bigger about how we create and how we, live out this life. So. Yeah, that's the best part I could say. I think you may have had a question about how to plug into the event. I put a link in the chat. About the link for your event?
Yeah, tomorrow. Inshallah, we'll have it tomorrow.
Okay.
So
check his Facebook page, and he'll post something up. And if you're on our mailing list with ACU, we'll also include it on the ACU Institute newsletter.
All right, alhamdulillah. So yeah, check in on both. This is the link right now. I'm getting feedback from that. I think it's you this time. I don't know.
Yeah, it's me. I think I fixed it.
All right, okay. All right, good. Find out something. Okay. So yeah, this is the way y'all can check in on that with her, and. Both events. So the Dr. Nuruddin and I, that's going to be coming up tomorrow. You can check with the ACU Institute page. I'm sure that's going to be there. And
mm-hmm.
and if you're on our list, I'm sure it's going to be blasted out, inshallah. And Tarlina, so wonderful to know all is well with you, my dear sister. I was going to hit you up, but I'm a shout you out, my sister. Alhamdulillah, I pray everything is moving swiftly for you and yours, alhamdulillah. Thank you for your kind words, always. All right, alhamdulillah. All right. And Georgetta, what she do. Georgetta, don't give up.
Sister Captain.
Don't give up. You got to keep hitting them rocks, girl. You got to keep hitting them. That's it. That's what it is. That's what you signed up for. Come on, you didn't know it, but yeah. We love you. Shout out, Georgetta. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All right, we out, y'all. God's peace, everybody.
Yep.
Have a wonderful evening. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.